trust me, I guess. And so if you go ahead and get in your Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, John chapter 8, while the little ones are being dismissed. This morning we're going to be talking about the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you've gathered us together to hear your word. So, Father, I ask that you will just speak to our hearts right now and show us our need, which is you. And, God, that we will surrender our lives to you in every aspect and every day of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share, I'm getting pretty pumped. We're going to, in June, like we had mentioned before, I'm about to take our students to a camp, a summer camp. And this summer camp we're going to is called Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, and just SWO. It's going to be SWO awesome, right? And so we're going to go there. It's in Andrews, North Carolina, and we're going to have a great time. It's very challenging, and there's going to be a lot of activities that they'll be able to do. But one thing I really like about this camp is that they're very gospel-centered, gospel-oriented, and all the messages and everything they do is centered around the who Jesus is and what he did. And that's what I love about them. And they also have all the extreme stuff that our students love, right? They've even got one thing called the poopy pole. And you can ask me later about what that's all about. And it's it is what it is. But anyway, we're going to have a great time. And I remember a couple of years ago, we went to this camp, at Snowbird, and they had one activity in particular. It was called caving. And they would take you to this cave, and we would go back into these caves and explore these caves. We would have well-trained guides with us, okay? And not everybody. There was probably about 20 in our group. And we had not everybody had these headlamps, but probably about 10 of us, probably about half of us had these headlamps where we would go into the cave. And Leroy didn't have one. So I was like, this is no good, right? Because one of my fears as a child was I was scared of the dark. And so already we were in a El Dificulto situation, right? And so anyway, we go in there, and I'm pretty pumped. And so we're going in there, and we're maneuvering around all these obstacles. You've got, you know, stalactites and stalagmites and bat bites, you know, and all kinds of things. And we're trying to dodge all these things. And it's getting, the further we go in, the more muddy it is. And there's water you have to walk through. In fact, they told us before we go in there, before we went to that trip, to go on into that activity, to wear clothes we would want to throw away afterwards. And I was like, okay. And so, like, some of the young bucks were, like, wearing white T-shirts and stuff. And when they came out, you could definitely tell they had been caving. And so we're going in there. We're dodging through things. And it's getting pretty cramped. And you're getting into these small areas. And the water's starting to come up to about your shin. And there was even at the end of the caving expedition, you had to crawl on your belly underneath this rock, and the water was coming up to right about your lips. Some of you are like, I don't think so, right? You're like, no. Well, you know, in order for us to get out of there, Leroy had to go under there. So I was like, you know, and it wasn't a huge rock. It only took about 5 seconds to get through, and then they would do CPR on it. Just kidding. Anyway, we got to a certain part in the cave where it started to get, there was mud on the walls and things, and we got to a certain part where they told the people with the headlamps to cut the lights off. In a cave, one way out, cut the lights off. I'm in there with a bunch of young people. And after a couple of seconds, you know, you get those hard flick sounds. Right, you know, people start making the woo stuff, and then But then something, you start hearing these screams. These little girls are screaming, little middle school girls. I'm not going to try to mimic their voices, although I can come pretty close. And they start saying, stop throwing mud. And these young punk teenage boys were throwing mud, right? Y'all would never be a part of that, right, guys? Oh, yes, we would, right? But I've grown up from there. No, I was involved with it too. But anyway, so we're throwing, you know, it's going on. And then the guide says, okay, that's enough, right? They cut on the light. And we were caught red-handed. Red mud had marked us. We had taken red mud off of the walls, and we had thrown it. And when the light was revealed, it showed who was in trouble. Ethan would be a part of that, wouldn't he? And one thing I also notice about that light is the guide, he says, look, you got to come this way. You can't go your own way. If we were left in the dark, we probably would have ended up like, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, Gollum, right? Gollum. Gollum. Those of you who know who I'm talking about, we wouldn't have made it out, at least for a while, until help would have come. Light is essential to our lives. Light is essential to our lives. Amen? If we didn't have light in this room, if we were to cut out, if it was dark, and we were to cut out all the lights in this area, some of you would have jumped under the pews because there's others of you that would cause trouble. Because we can't really see what's going on. And Jesus uses, when he says, I am the light of the world, when he uses this metaphor of light and darkness, he's going to explain to us what reality is all about. What really is going on in this life. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he's going to tell us something. There's some implications that we'll be able to see with just this verse. In fact, in chapter 7, there's this feast. Here's some little bit of background that's going on here. There's this feast that's going on called the Feast of Tabernacles. And what they do, the Jewish people held these feasts throughout the year, annual feasts. And this was one of them where feasts were for a specific reason. God would tell them to celebrate either something that he had done in their past, or that would be something they were supposed to celebrate that was going to happen in the future. And this Feast of Tabernacles, this Feast of Booths was there, and it was there for them to remind them that God had been with them. His presence was with them in the wilderness. And they were to constantly, this was one of the three feasts that all Jews had to show up for. And there's two aspects about this that they would have to do throughout this week. It lasted for 7 days. And for 7 days, all of Israel would camp out. They would leave their homes and go and live in tents to kind of mimic or remind them of the hardships of the Israelite people through their journey through the wilderness. And it was supposed to remind them of how God was present with them. They also had, in the temple where they worshipped at, they had these cauldrons that were about 75 foot tall, and they'd be filled with oil, and they would light them. And in fact, they were so bright that the area houses around them, in fact, it said that you could see it, the light for miles. It's like one of those spotlights that is like highlighting us to come to a car show or a car dealership. Y'all have ever seen them? They're shining all in the light, and they're saying, something's going on over here. And so these lights, when they were lit up, they would light up all the surrounding area. And they would let the people know, this: you are to be reminded that God is with you. That God is here. But here's the thing, is at the end of this feast, at the end of the week, those lights would be put out. Because the Messiah, the one that God had said was going to come and be the light of the world, the one that was going to come to free them from the darkness of this world, he hasn't showed up yet. And it's with this backdrop that Jesus steps on the scene and he's there and he says, I am the light of the world. And so he takes people by surprise. He takes the religious leaders. In fact, from chapter 8, verse 12 on through the rest of the book, basically, until Christ is crucified, he's having this dialogue with the religious leaders, showing them that they were wrong in their interpretation of Scripture, that they missed the boat. They missed him, because all of Scripture points to Jesus, and he says, you need me. You think you're the light, but I am the light of the world. You can't free yourself in the darkness because you're living in the darkness. I am the one that has come into this world as light, and I'm going to enlighten every man and let them know. And so light, he uses this metaphor for a reason, because light, we know what it does. It exposes what's in the darkness, right? But it also enlightens us. It lets us know what's going on. And so Jesus reveals what true reality is. And this is one of the seven I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John. And when he says, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life, I am the resurrection, and so forth. When he says this, he's making a statement of who he is. And the Jewish people knew this. We don't see it really when we're reading over this. We don't see it until we see that the Jews gathered together and picked up stones to kill Jesus. We don't see the emphasis that is given there, but what Jesus is saying is when he says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am such and such, when he says these statements, he says, I am God and I am what you need, because it will remind them of back when the Israelites, before they were, when they were gathered together and God calls Moses to come to him through the burning bush, y'all remember that? And Moses says, what shall I tell the people? What shall I tell the people of who you are? What shall I say is your name? And what does God say? He says, I am that I am. He didn't stutter like that. He says, I am. And what does he say? He says, I am the transcendent one. I am the independent one. I don't need you, but I want you. I don't need you, but I love you. And I want to be a part of your life. He says, you need me. And he says, I am that. And so when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's showing us something about this light. He's shown us something about this world. He says that it's dark, that we live in a dark world, and he's the only answer to it. And so when Jesus rolls up on the scene, he says, I am the light of the world. And that first indication or the first implication that we get is that this world is dark. And I don't have to give you example after example that this world is dark. All you have to look is at the news, right? And we can see that we can look among us and we can see that there's suffering, there's sickness, there's struggling with sin around us and even in our own life, right? And we know that there's something wrong with this world. Well, how did the world get this way? Long ago, when God created the first couple decided, you know what? They listened to the tempter. They listened to his lie, and he never made them do anything. He just got them to question God's goodness. And Adam and Eve questioned God's goodness, and what they did was they decided to disobey him and go for the fruit on the tree that they weren't supposed to go to. He said, you can have all of this. He wasn't trying to restrict them. He was trying to protect them. And when mankind took a part of the fruit, the world became dark with sin. And it wasn't just the physical world around. Man's heart was darkened. You see, sin taints our hearts. We are born in sin, and from that day forward, when you were born, because you are a descendant of Adam and Eve, because you are a descendant of him, and darkness comes into his heart, darkness comes into her heart, and those who are born from them have darkened hearts, and you and I, we make bad decisions because we have a bad heart. We have a dark heart. We make dark decisions. And some of you are struggling with sin in your life, and you're saying, I can't whip this. I keep falling into it. I keep falling and stumbling into it. You know why? It's because you need the light of the world into your life.
you keep trying to solve your issues while you're in the dark. Imagine trying to find yourself out of the cave. Imagine trying to clean up your house in pure darkness. It doesn't work because you remain in the dark. And Jesus says that all of those, whoever doesn't place their trust in Him, whoever doesn't follow Him, that they live a life in darkness. You know, this world throws all kinds of things at you. It says that there's all kinds of things that'll bring you pleasure, bring you fulfillment, bring you significance. Money, as long as you have money, what is the top three is money, power, and sex. You can use money to get one or the other, and you can use the others to get the others. I won't go into a lot of detail because we have young ones here. But I want you to get the drift. Is that we, you and I, we live in a dark world, but guess what? We have dark hearts. We naturally don't want to see the light of the world. Have you ever been, when you were growing up, and I know some of our young ones will probably amen this, but you're sleeping good, right? It's the one, you know it's a school morning. But you're sleeping good, and your mom and dad, or dad, comes in and they flip open that light. Bright light, bright light. Me mogwai, right? For those Grimmin plants. Because it hurts, right? When the light shines on us, when we're in darkness, we can't adjust. And so it hurts our eyes. And what Christ is saying when He says, I am the light of the world, He's saying that Christ is shining towards us, but you know what? Because of our sin and our darkened hearts, we're not like this focused in Christ. We're not looking at Him. In fact, we're turning from Him. And we're going our own way. He says, that's what I've come to rescue you from. And so when He says, I'm the light of the world, light exposes our sinfulness. It shows who we are. It exposes our hearts. Jesus reveals our reality, and the reality is we're not as good as we really think we are. He exposes our hearts. And there's a lot about you and me that others don't know, but God does. What happens when that person cuts you off in traffic? What happens when that person is going too slow down 194? And there's no passing lane except for like two parts on all of 194. And you go through all those curves and you have some little joker like Leroy in front of you that doesn't want to make his little one sick, so I take those curves slow. And you're like, get out of the way. You know who you are. You're over there thinking thoughts. Get this preacher out of the way. And then when you pass me, you smile and wave. Hey, preacher! No, if you really did an examination of your life, you would see you're not the good old boy that you think you are. And here's the thing is what we like to do, and the cool thing is about light is they used to use light as a standard of measure. They used to gauge it and see how things were straight by, and they lined it up against beams of light. And what Jesus is saying in here is it's very easy for us to line up against each other. And you could probably all come and stand next to me and you could say, man, I look pretty good compared to him. But here's what Jesus is saying. He says, Leroy's not the standard. Lee's not the standard. I am. Jesus is saying, line yourself up to me. Now, how many of you would come out pretty good on that? None of you. None of us. No one. In fact, Scripture says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. He's the standard that we come by. So when we're all in dark, we look pretty good. We can't see our flaws. Like, you wake up and you're next to your significant other, and the appearance has changed overnight. You know, and the light of the sun reveals. Wives, stop hitting your husbands. It's like there's elbows going on right now. Light reveals, light exposes what's going on. And when Jesus, the light of the world, comes into the world, when His perfection comes and we line ourselves up to Him, we notice that, hey, you know what? I don't measure up. Therefore, I'm sinful. Therefore, I don't deserve the goodness of God. And the only way that we can get the righteousness of God, the only way that we can become right with God is by surrendering, turning to the light and saying, I need you. Come into me. Shine your light in me and on me because I need you. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You know, not only does light expose our hearts, but it enlightens us to the hope that we have. You know, light doesn't just show us the bad things, but it shows us beauty. When the light, I'm going to reverse it here. When the light comes on, or when the light comes up in the morning, then you'll be able to see the beauty of your significant other. Amen? Now, guys, you should be saying amen to this. Otherwise, you're going to get the elbow, right? No, imagine if everything's dark and all you see is the silhouette or the outline of something. But when the light comes on, you're able to see the beauty that God has given us. And when Christ, the light of the world, comes into your life, He not only shows you how sinful and how wicked we really are, but He shows how good and beautiful He is and how much valuable He is for Him to be in our life. We're able to see His majesty. We're able to see how great Jesus is. Is God good? Young people, I mean, really, is God good? Well, then let's live that way. That's what He's saying. He's the light of the world. He's the one that we need. He's the one that we want. We ultimately want. We were made and we were created to be worshipers of the true light. And yet we've chosen darkness. But when God enlightens us and He shows us His beauty, He wants us to turn to Him, turn away from the darkness and turn to Him and call out to Him. I am the light of the world. Through Jesus, we are able to see the beauty of God. And so what Jesus does is when He says He's the light of the world, He reveals what true reality is, that in darkness we really can't see how things truly are. But then He reveals Himself and He says, I am the, emphasis on the word the. In fact, if you're writing your Bibles, I would encourage you to either underline or circle the word the. There's no other light source for this world. There's no other light source. Jesus is the only light for this world. The world was created for the light, and the light has come to rescue the world. There's no other. And sure, in the darkness, while I was in the caves, and it was dark, I could listen to the voices of other people and say, hey, let's go this way. In fact, there was one time that one of the guides told us that at a time before, and thankfully it wasn't the time that we went, but they said over half of their lights went out. Hello? That wouldn't be good. And so if no lights were there, we would be left to ourselves to fumble around in the darkness to try to find ourselves out, find a way out of there. And this world is trying to tell you that there's many paths, but they're all in the darkness. They don't lead to the light. Jesus says, I am the light, the one and only light of the world, and you need me. But here's the thing, is Jesus not only reveals the reality, but He requires a response. Look at what He says in the second part of this. He says, then Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He's not saying just an abstract statement and just leaving it there. No, here's a statement I like to tell our young people. Life is about choices, and choices have consequences. So either you can decide, if you're in the cave of life, and you're in darkness, either you can decide to remain in the darkness or you could receive the light, is basically how it goes. He says, and even Jesus says in John chapter
12, verses 46, he says, I came as light in the world to rescue those, and I'm paraphrasing here, so that those will not remain in the darkness. And he's showing us there's something about our hearts here, that we need deliverance. We need to be rescued. We need to be brought into the light. He requires a response. And he says, follow me. And this is a word that, you know, we kind of downplay it in our society today. In fact, you know, with your Twitter feed, right? Follow me. This is not no Twitter feed. This is not where you can just follow him for a little bit and then you can delete or you can unfollow. Jesus is not about that. He's not about half-hearted allegiance. He says, you follow me because you need me. That's what he's saying. And a lot of times, especially I see this with our young adults, but you know what? I also see this in us adults. What we like to do is we like to toe the fence, okay? And I use this illustration with them a lot because I want them to get this picture, okay? And we like to say, you know what? I want to walk for Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. But then I want to walk in the world. And if we're walking on the fence, that doesn't work out so well, does it? And Jesus is saying that's the same way with life. Is you cannot have both parts. You're either going to serve me, you're going to follow me, or you're not. Either I am your Lord and Savior, or I'm not at all. Now, I want you to think about that. Examine your own heart this morning. Do I have full allegiance to him? Or am I just living for myself? Am I just living and playing with the darkness? And I don't have to stand up here and give you a list of what are the do's and don'ts. I don't have to. Here's the thing. Get into God's Word and let the Spirit of God talk to your heart. Because here's the thing, is if you're serious about following Jesus, he comes and dwells within you, and he's there for a cleanup job. He comes in and he says, you know what? You're sinful, that's why you needed me. I'm here, so I'm going to address these issues. And so when I convict you, when I put on your heart that there's something that you're doing in your life that you shouldn't be doing, guess what? Let's address this. Let's do away with it, because guess what? It's hurting you. It's not helping you. It's destroying you. It's not delivering you. And that's what he's saying. I'm the light of the world, and you need me. And he who follows me, he says, will not walk in darkness. He says that as the light of the world frees you from what was keeping you in bondage, keeping you in sin, I freed you from that. And he says, somebody that follows me is not going to go back. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have sin in our life. You know what? We're fallen people being redeemed by Jesus. Here's what he's saying. He says, when you sin, you deal with it. I tell people all the time, when you mess up, you fess up. That's what he's talking about. So you can remain in the darkness. In John 3, verses 19 through 21, I don't think I have it up there. It says that those who remain in the darkness, they do so because they love the darkness and they don't want their sin, they don't want themselves to be exposed by the light. And so you are either in one category or the other. Either you are here this morning and you know that you're living a life that is not pleasing to God and you can remain in that. You can remain in it, or you can come into the light, the Lord Jesus, of what he's done on the cross and through the resurrection. You can come into that, and you can receive his light, and there's a way. What it does is it comes in, he comes into you, and starts to change things. And what I want to do is I've got three verses for you that I want to go through really quickly, and then we'll close. One is that when we come into the light, Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, for you were formerly darkness, but now there's been a change. There's been a change, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Children of light. Here's what he's saying, is that one time you were a child of darkness. That's all you knew. You were born in a dark cave and you didn't know. And then the light of the world came into your life. You surrendered by taking his hand. And you said, bring me out of the darkness because I need to come out.
and he took you out of the darkness, he says, no longer are you a child of the light, but you are now in my family. You are a child, not no longer of the child of the night, but you're a child of the light. And you've come out, and now you will be underneath my authority. You will be underneath my leadership. I will direct you and guide you. I will protect you and provide for you. That's what Jesus is saying. So he says, now live your life according to what I just shared with you. But we still live in a dark world, don't we? And we need guidance and directions. That's funny. Because God solves that issue. Look at Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hello? God gives us a light to show us the right way to go and protect us or guard us from the wrong ways to go. How many of you cherish your headlights when it's dark and you're driving? No, I think I'll drive without them. I could call you something, but I'd get heads turned. Doesn't make sense, does it? So how, children of God, if you're sitting here and you've surrendered your life to Christ, why is it that we're not using the light that he's given us to live our lives? He's not shown us, and this is like a picture of a lantern, where he shows us what we need for every step of the way. He's not showed us what we're going to do in the future, because some of us would say no, and we'd get scared of it. He says, you're not trusting me. He says, I want you to trust my guidance. I want you to trust my leadership. I want you to trust my authority, because that's what you need. And he gives us his word to do that. If you're not getting into God's word, then how can you say that you're walking in the paths of light? So I challenge you, tonight or tomorrow morning, when you wake up 5 minutes, at least 5 minutes early, get into the word. Start with the Gospel of John. Start with that. Read. You can read a chapter. You can read a paragraph. You can read a sentence. Read something. And ask the Lord to direct you in your life. Ask two questions. What is the author saying? And how does this apply to my life? Very simple. In fact, for our students, this is something that we gauge them in. This is something that we guide them in to get into God's Word. God's Word is the only thing that's going to change your life. But then Jesus not only says that we're children of the light, but he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he says, you are the light of the world. There's emphasis but behind the word, the two words, you are. He says, you're the only one there. You are the light of the world. Donnie, can I use you real quick? Thank you. Come on up here. Adam, come here. And Tommy, come here. Great. Thank you for volunteering. I want to show you guys something because I think this will help us to see what is this passage showing us, okay? Man. Let's see. Who could I pick to be Jesus? No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, Donnie, I want you to stand right here. And you're going to face this way, all right? Tommy, I want you to face this way right here, okay? And Adam, what I want you to do is I want you to come right here. And you're going to face both of them, okay? You're going to be like a catacorner right here, okay? All right, Jesus says that you are the light of the world, okay? And Donnie's representing Jesus. I know we could change this, but no, I'm just kidding. I love you. Jesus is the light of the world, right? And Adam is representing the church or each individual believer, okay? Tommy is representing the world, the darkened world, okay? And notice here that Tommy has got his back to the Lord Jesus because of his darkened heart, okay? Y'all see that, all right? I want to show you something here. So, in order for the world to see Jesus, it's little, okay? Now, just flow with me on this. We see this in the moon, right? The moon itself does not have light in itself. It is a reflection. When we see the brightness of the moon, is because the sun, it is so far away from the earth, is a specific distance to where the sun is shining off of it, right? We see that reflection, okay? Same thing here. You're the light of the world. Okay? So the only way that the world can see Jesus is through you. The way that you live your life. Now, Adam, no disrespect here. The light is going to show the impurities of us. The world is going to see our failures and our faults. Y'all see that? They're going to see that. But when Adam says, you know what? You're right. I am a fallen and sinful man. And I sin and I can't control it. That's why I need Jesus. Guess what? He just pointed to Jesus, the light of the world. Do you see that? He pointed to Jesus. He didn't point to him. He pointed to Jesus. And so the world can see something. There's something different about Adam. There's something different about him. He's pointing other people to someone else and not himself. Because you and I, we like to brag on ourselves. We like to highlight us, but Jesus has not created nor redeemed us to do that. He's created us to be reflections of his light to the world. But how many of us are living a life, a solar eclipse, a life, where we come into the way of the world seeing Jesus? Church, we got to repent. We've got to turn from our sin and stop highlighting our... Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. We've got to turn from this way of trying to highlight us. Try to make sure that everybody sees us. We've got to turn from this because you were not saved to make much about yourself. You were saved. You were free from the darkness of hell, from the darkness of sin, to make much of the light. Marinate a little bit. Some of you in here right now have not come to the light. You think coming to church is bringing you goodness to God, and it's not. You think being a good person, you think doing good things, you think as long as you read your Bible, as long as you pray when you're supposed to, as long as you share Christ, and I don't know how that works out, but as long as you do, then you're right with God. And Jesus says no. He said, it's only through me. Stop doing because it's already done. Some of you in here have come to the light, but you know that you're not trusting the light. You're still scared because of something new and you don't understand every aspect. And so what happens is you get tripped up and you get distracted and you turn back to the darkness because it's something that you're familiar with and you just want to go back. But then you know that there's still that pull, that tug, that the light of the world is pulling you. And so you've got a constant struggle. There's a constant war that's going in, and you and I, all of us, will go through this in our life. And what the solution to that is, Jesus says, turn from the darkness and to the light. Where are you at today, church? Where are you at today, people? Are you dealing with the light? Are you allowing the light to shine on your soul? Are you allowing it to expose who you really are? And then are you coming to him because you understand who you are and that you need him? And he wants to use you to reach this dark world. Oh, fallible me, man of failures, many failures. He wants to use me, you, me, to reach those that are in your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. He has placed you are the light of the world. He's placed you specifically and specially to be a light to those who are in darkness. What a privilege! But what a responsibility that we have, that we don't cover up our sin, that we don't ignore our sin, that we don't blame other people for our sin, but we realize who we really are, and we say, this is why I need Jesus. This is why I need him working in my life every day. And then others will look at you and they'll say, there's something strange about that joker. I want to know more. Where are you at this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Have you come to Jesus? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Have you given your life to him and surrendered to his lordship? Or are you just playing the game? Are you playing around in the darkness? Is there sin in your life that you know of where you're playing with darkness and you know you need to deal with it? You know you need to confess it and get it right. Will you deal with God? Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you will guide us and direct us during this time. Provoke our hearts and melt our hearts of stone and help us to respond to you. And God, so we ask you and plead with you to work in our lives. If you'll stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and if you want to talk to me, I'm down here, but you don't need me. You just need Jesus. But I'm here for you if you'd like to talk or pray. Or you could come down. You don't have to, but you can come down. There's just something about you stepping out and making it public that you need Jesus. Will you respond to what the Lord's telling your heart right now? Nothing that no one needs to deal with. Doesn't make you special. It's good to see everyone this morning, and my prayer is that you'll examine your hearts and let the Lord lead and to give your life to him if you haven't. And if you have, that you'll give your life to him each and every day. Make him, allow him to be the Lord of your life. And when he's that Lord, he's master, and he's going to address things.